Moses Moses was a great man. And I'm going to tell you what, God sent him a successor that is unbelievable.
Thank God.
This man, Joshua.
Thank God.
And I began to read about this man, Joshua, and first thing I want to know is, where did he come from? And so I want to talk to us a little bit quickly about the discovery of Joshua. And I found out that we find him here, that he is just basically almost a slave. He's a minister. He's just a man that waits on the needs of the man of God. He appears in Exodus chapter number 17 and verse 9 as Moses' minister. Amen. Also, if I could say, we see him first as a slave, and then if you'll remember the battle where somewhere between that time and the battle with Amalek, amen, we find that, remember, we know the famous story of Moses' hands getting tired. And this ain't in my notes, I'm not going to confuse this, but I'm not going to have to stay with me. Just want to throw this here. But his hands got tired. Guess who was leading the battle that day?
Yeah.
It was Joshua, right? And we see Joshua as a soldier. So we see him as he appears on the scene. We don't know much about his pedigree. We don't know a whole lot about his lineage. I couldn't find him. I'm not the brightest bulb on the tree. I'll be the first to admit it. I was home learned. And, I'm not the brightest bulb out there. I couldn't find much about him, where he come from. He just kind of appears on the scene. He's a no name. He's a nobody. Amen. But he appears on the scene, and God begins to use him. And I see this young man, Joshua, as a soldier. But when he appears on the scene, he is working for God's man, and he's fighting for God's people.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Man, that's a good way to bust on the scene. Hallelujah. And you know, as I look around this place tonight, preaching on Joshua's journey, amen, Brother Lester said, he tried to be nice about it, but I knew what he was saying. He said, never dreamed that punk Brent Marquis would ever preach for me in a pulpit somewhere. That's what he wanted to say. He just didn't say it. And I appreciate him being nice. Hallelujah. Amen. But you know, as he looked at me, amen, that little boy went up there. Make sure you understand, all that bad stuff was my brother. That was not me, okay? Hallelujah. When you hear this, and you know what? I traveled all across Asia last for 10 years. And they'd say, now, Brent, I don't remember you, Brent. But now that Nathan, I love that boy. You mean the one that punched that kid in the face in your church? Yeah, but he was a bully. He's glad he punched him. I mean, what the world? And I tried to be good and take hold my father's name. Oh, help me preach here just a minute. Hallelujah. Amen. Little kid running, who never dreamed, brother? Amen. I don't know what we got to here. Maybe you can remind me. Again, it's probably my brother. Don't blame me. I remember shooting rats out of that hog crib over there. That was a blast. I've never seen the biggest snake I've ever seen in my life. They call him a chicken snake. I said, Lord in heaven. Amen. Big old chicken snake somebody kills, stealing eggs. And I remember, amen, Brother Boyd giving me a ride on his motorcycle. That was a thrill for a preacher's kid. You know, imagine. We didn't know to sit in a trailer all day most places. And I vaguely remember I seen him duck his head like that, and something whacked me right between the eyes real hard. Hallelujah. And I go, hey, you never dreamed, my brother, that I would be here. Amen. Preaching to you tonight. We had a lot of water under the bridge at that time. 10 years of evangelizing from here to California and all around. Amen. 42 states I believe I've preached in and been in. Not preaching every one of them, but most all of those. Been in a bunch of states. Now 8 years pioneering. I'm over 25 years of preaching. I started as about 13. And here we are. Verse 12, and the Lord said to Moses, come up to me in the mountain. and be there, and I will give thee the tables of stone, and the law and the commandments which I have written, that thou mayest teach them. Woo, the Ten Commandments. Amen. They've been down through the ages. Wow. What an awesome moment in history. But guess who was there? And Moses rose up, and his minister Joshua. And Moses went up into the mount of God, and he said unto the elders, tarry ye here for us until we come again unto you. And behold, Aaron and Hur are with you. And if any man have any matters to do, amen, let him come unto them. I want you to notice a key word I've never seen. Amen, tarry ye here for us. Guess who went up in that mountain with the man of God? Amen, and seen the finger of God. Amen, write your Ten Commandments. A young minister named Joshua. A young servant boy. Amen, all with them. Oh, come on, help me preach now. Amen, later on. Amen, after Moses is dead in my test tonight. Amen, God says, hey, Joshua, don't you fail. Amen, you keep the law. Oh, help me preach on the ghost. Give me this little more monster, please, brother. Amen, let me tell you something tonight. I want to tell you, young man, some of you come up under Brother Billy Ray Hudson, and some of you coming up under Brother Lester, but you do not know where God is going to take you. Young lady, you don't know what a measure's wife. You may come to come. I'm going to tell you what you need to have tonight. You need to have a devotion. Amen, to stay closer to the men and women of God. Amen, and watch how God uses them. And watch how God touches them. That he may even teach you his ways and engrave them in your heart and in your mind.
All right.
Woo! I see something else I've never seen. I know y'all don't see it, but I've never seen it. In Exodus chapter number 33. Now you know that after the tabernacle was built, amen, that the first person in that tabernacle was Moses, right?
Yeah.
Guess who went with him? Joshua. The Bible said that Moses came out, but Joshua tarried still in the tabernacle.
All right.
I didn't preach a little while tonight. You're not going to sound like you did last night, but I just got to preach. In this day and hour, young men, of video games, and YouTube, and Bebo, of my MySpace team, that's gone. Yeah, see how old I am? No. We'll just get where we are, right? Facebook. Snapchat, huh? Oh, and on the list goes, most of them I've heard of it, very little I know much about, all right? But all I can tell you is this much, is the world is consumed with technology. The world is addicted to sports, are they not? Well, let me just tell you, young lady, young men, hey, man, it's going to be hard for you to become that person that God wants you to be. Hey, man, if you don't learn to tarry in the tabernacle while everybody else, hey, man, is out there doing their own thing. Hey, man, young preacher, I'd like to be something for God. You can be. You're on a journey right now. You may not have really been discovered yet. Hey, man, but if you'll learn to tarry in the tabernacle while everybody else is it going to the fair and the rodeo and the ball games, spending hour after hour playing video games or playing on their cell phone. It's the one that tarries in the tabernacle. It's going to be the one that's going to be used by God. It's going to be the one who goes the extra mile. And when everybody else says, let's just get this service over with, you'll be the last one down in the altar saying, God, send revival. His devotion, amen.
Yes,
oh, God, help me to preach tonight. Young man, there's nothing wrong with having some personal convictions that all your friends may not have.
Come on, preacher.
Young lady,
yeah.
There's nothing wrong with having some personal convictions that your friends may not have. I have seen an attitude amongst too many people, and I'm going to go to moms and dads. We want to see how far we can push that line and still say we're holiness and still say we're saved. Paul said, I become all things to all men, that I might by all means win some. Are you listening to me? And young person, you need to learn to dress and act in such a way that you can preach for 90% of preachers in the holiness movement. And that other 10%, you probably don't want to. Hallelujah. I didn't say that, Lord. to me. Young lady, you want to dress in such a way, amen, that you can be the wife of any young holiness preacher, and you can go anywhere, and you can be there, oh, help me preach all the girls, and you can shout that way, at the love of Jesus Christ would come out of you, and into a dark and dying world. You're on the journey. I said you're on the journey. How is your devotion in this house tonight? Joshua's journey. We see his discovery. We see his devotion. Well, that's a preaching to him. I'll get to it quickly. We see his lack of discretion. Hallelujah. In Numbers chapter 11, we see the zeal of a young man that got a lot of wisdom. Boy, I can relate to that. I'm 41 years old. People still say, I ain't got any. Hallelujah. You think I'd grow up after a while. We find Hebrew and Joshua. Amen. When there's some Moses said, when all the elders come in the camp, right? And they begin to prophesy, and God moved on, 72 of them, I believe it was. And there we find that there was two that didn't make it in the camp. And they prophesied without the camp. And here comes old Joshua. I know he's ready. Amen. Hey, get them boys. They're out there prophesying without the camp. They didn't do exactly what you said. I don't know if there were two people to come. They were elders, but I don't know. All I know is the old wise preacher, the old wise leader, Moses. Calm down, Joshua. It's all right, son. I would have God that everybody prophesied. I want to tell you parents something. You can't put a 40-year-old head on a 20-year-old young preacher. Amen. You can't. Amen. They're going to have some zeal sometimes. They're not always going to have the greatest wisdom. Amen. But I wouldn't trade the zeal of a young man or woman. Amen. For all the wisdom and dry heart of some of our elders. Come on down and preach. You're going to make some mistakes along the way. Your zeal may outgrow your wisdom. But don't lose your fire.
Yes,
started my church. We ran the mail bill for $500 a month. We seen God do some miraculous things. We seen God do some wonderful things. One of the first persons who showed up at my church was a young man, 16 years old, who got saved at a youth camp. Went to Brother Lee Strickland. I was the evangelist at the time. He went to Brother Lee Strickland up on the mountain. That guy brought more sinners to church than I've ever seen in my life. He come down. That might have a big gold chain around his neck. His daddy been in prison, pen most of his life, big time. Drug kingpin. I'm not talking about a drug dealer, drug kingpin. And that was his dad. His dad's hit this rough. That boy prayed that night, got saved. He got boot camp. Got sent to boot camp a week later from some previous charges. Boot camp couldn't beat it out of him. He read his Bible, memorized his Bible, never been in a homeless church in his life. He got saved in that youth camp, I preached. After that, he served God and did great. He married a little homeless girl, never had done drugs, rock, all that stuff. He became a product, a sad product of a dying church. He became a product of a preacher whose wife got cancer. Different things happened, and he just got an older, don't take offense at that, but I'm just saying that the preacher was getting older, and he took his focus off of his church, and rightfully so, focused on his wife. And probably what he should have done was just went ahead and retired, and he did all that, but he did not. I hope I'm saying that right. Lord, don't let me offend nobody now. He got you just and not no sin. He just got, he was sick. His wife was sick. And meanwhile, the church man just spiraled down. And this young man become a casualty of a dying church. He died in backslid. He died out on God. He got to work in a job. He drifted away from God. His wife stayed true for a while. She got on drugs. I need to say this quickly. She got on drugs. And okay, hey man, his wife said, well, if I can't whoop him, I'm sorry. She'd never done drugs in her life. Became a $3,000 a week heroin addict. There's only one way you can support $3,000 a week habit. Hey man, you ain't going to do it working at Walmart. You're going to sell and sell yourself and everything else. Kate went to prison. She got out of prison. She showed up at my church. That's on the look. If I can get this girl saved, this is a preacher's wife. She's going to serve God. Amen. She's going to, amen, I had a desire. Y'all understand? I knew you couldn't buy nobody, but I said, if I see come to church, so for the first 3 or 4 weeks, I put her up in the motel, paid the motel bill every night for about four weeks. She also had a little 3-year-old boy, and that little boy, I wasn't going to let that little boy sleep in the car. And so we paid the motel. I paid it because my church couldn't do it, so I say that humbly. We built it, we put a motel. Man, I found a friend of mine that buys foreclosures, a sinner man. I said, you got a foreclosure I can have and fix up or exchange for some free rent? Yeah, I got one point on that. We went up there, you never seen such hog slop and filth and pornography everywhere. And just, I mean, they've been throwing the trash out the window because they knew they was going to lose the house. A mountain of trash that's rotten. We worked for days and fixed that place, three months. A guy in the church got her job where he worked at a senior tax, helping the elderly 4 days a week, $15 an hour, $4.10. Hey, when somebody gave her a car with a bad transmission, we put a transmission in it. You're ready to go, girl. She's coming to church. She's not everywhere she needs to be, but I'm just working, and I've got that desire, and I'm ready, and I'm ready to go. Amen. And I got her the house, and we got her job, and we got everything. And then I got a text message. I don't think this church thing's going to work for me. I want to party. I want to have some fun on the weekends. And that nigga saw danger. I stuck my neck out. And I said, I'll stay in a different place with no security deposit. I'll make sure to return to you. He bought the materials. I did work. I said, I'll return to you like it was found. 4 months later, he called me. I finally got a preacher. I finally got 6 months later. She got her three months rent. Amen. She's busted the doors in. They broke the doors. There's drug paraphernalia everywhere. Amen. The shed is full of trash from the top to the bottom. She's been using the shed as her garbage dumpster. Are y'all preaching about, amen, the desire to help and the disappointment that comes along on this journey? We're pumped up. We're ready. Hey, don't you ever lose that desire. But you better be prepared for some disappointment along the way. Amen. And Joshua said, come on, guys. We're well able. Amen. But only 2 had the grapes and 10 had the cripes. And guess what Joshua had to do? He had to wander in the wilderness for 40 long years. Amen. Because of everybody else's lack of zeal and lack of desire. Faith in God. I'm going to tell you, young preacher, everybody's not going to be excited about your messages.
as you are. But you've got to preach on. Hey, young lady, every night you're not going to be excited about your convictions as you are. But don't lose your convictions. There's some disappointments that come with the journey. But whatever you do, press on. Hallelujah. Yes. Woo. I'm preaching on Joshua's journey tonight. Joshua's disappointment. We are well able. Now I'll preach on a little bit more. Joshua's dedication. I'm getting where I want to preach, and I hope I can. Now, guess who had to wander the wilderness for 40 years while he waited on everybody else to die? Because he did wrong, brother. No, not because he did wrong, but because everybody else did wrong. He had to suffer along with them. I'm not going to preach that sometimes what others do to us, amen, brings a lot of pain in our lives also. Amen, but I want to tell somebody to stay dedicated. Now this is going to be foreign to some of you, but there's a young lady in this house tonight, and you suffered a lot of things because of what your daddy did. Amen, there's a young man in this house today. You've suffered a lot of things. Amen, because of where daddy and mama are today. Amen, I come to preach to you. You're on a journey. Oh, sweet Holy Ghost, breathe on me. And God's got a job for you to do. And just because mom and daddy haven't been all they needed to be and brought a lot of suffering in your life. Amen, I'm looking at somebody tonight who's got their shoulders squared back and said, if daddy don't go, I'm going anyway. I don't know where Joshua's daddy was. I don't know if he's even alive, but he wasn't in that number that Moses gave out. And if he had a daddy, guess who died in the wilderness? His daddy died in the wilderness. His mama died in the wilderness. And guess who kept on walking for 40 long years? They've been waiting on the promise, waiting on his ministry, waiting on the door to open. I said a man named Joshua, he never was on a journey. I don't know when God's going to blow your ministry open, son. I don't know when God's going to make a way. All I want you to do is keep walking in this barren wilderness and keep one foot in front of the other. You're going to see some fall on the left. You're going to see some fall on the right. And there's going to be disappointment. But stick with the program. There's a promise coming. I said there's a promise that's coming. Lift your hands and ask God to have his way. He stayed faithful through 40 years of funerals. Not only did he stay faithful to God, he stayed faithful to God's man. You never read one time where Joshua got out of line with God's man, Moses.
Praise God.
How many young preachers you got here? Stand up tonight. I keep hearing back towards you. Your young preacher, stand up. Hallelujah. Four, right? Yeah, you're still young, right? Enjoy it while it lasts, brother. Three young preachers. We got some more young men here who knows what God's going to do in your life. You can be seated. And can I tell you that on this journey, amen, if you're where God wants you to be and doing what God wants you to do, it doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter whether you get the applause of men. It doesn't matter whether or not, amen, if the world loves you, as long as you're doing exactly what God said to do. If God said, amen, for you to mop the floor, amen, and that's the greatest job you could ever do, is mop the floor in the fellowship hall. If God says, son, I just want you to tell the pastor, I'll cut the grass the rest of the summer. You can't be no more in God's will. Amen, the preacher can't be than to cut the grass and to be faithful and to be dedicated where God wants you to be. Hello, amen, mom and dad in this house tonight. We're living in an age of compromise. Amen, we're living in an age, amen, where our friends around us, we have seen them fall on the left and the right. But God's looking for some men and women who will stay dedicated on this journey and carry this thing on, amen, for another generation. I said, God is looking for somebody to carry this thing on. Hallelujah. Now, when you get down where the rubber meets the road, there was a time them. I want to shout like them. I want to run like them. But guess what? One by one, we have laid them in the ground. One by one, I have watched them either not be able to preach anymore due to their physical body. I listened to Brother Joy High preaching last week. Amen. He's gone. Unbelievable. Can't believe he's gone. And they are gone. Guess what, Mom and Dad? You are those people that you used to look up to 20 years ago.
Wow.
You aren't here tonight. I said, you are those saints that we used to look up to 20 years ago. I just woke up recently and realized I'm 41 years old. I'm not old. Amen. But my heroes, amen, of the faith, amen, has slowly been sliding away and slowing down. And it is my turn now. Amen. So I want to preach to you. Amen. In my text tonight. Amen. Moses, my servant, is gone. It is now time, Joshua. Amen. For you to rise to the occasion. Amen. You've been on a journey. Amen. We discovered you. We see your devotion. We see your desire. We've been through disappointments. And now it is time to see your determination. Amen. To carry this thing on in the beauty of holiness. I come to tell this church at Trinity tonight. Amen. It's our turn now. Amen. We've been on a journey. And we've been out there. And we don't even realize it. But where God wants us, it's time to take the promised land. It's time to do what God has called us to do. This place. And they're not off the scene. But they made that decision to be gracious to me. And the name's over.
Praise God.
I just want you to know people think that's gracious. I've been pastor for 8 years. I can't even imagine who I turned my over to. That's my blood, sweat, and tears, brother. That's it. And in our area and across this country, I've seen preachers stay until they destroyed their churches because they didn't want Joshua to get any glory.
Oh, yeah.
We've got a church in our area right now that ran 300 people. You know how many runs tonight? 30. It seats 700. It runs 30. You want to know why? Because there's nobody good enough to take care of, to take the place of the pastor. That's been there 50 years. You don't understand the honor that I have for this man of God right here. Amen. To build a work and say, I didn't build it to die with it. I built it for a generation to go into the promised land.
Yes.
I'm not getting my message across tonight. Amen. Mom and Dad in this house. Amen. It's our turn to cross the Jordan. We've been brought out of Egypt. We've got the sanctuary built. Hallelujah. And now God's a calling the church. Amen. To rise to the occasion. And God has sent Joshua. Amen. While you were asleep. Amen. God's been making a man and a wife. And God sent him through the highs. And God sent him through the lows. Amen. In sickness and in health. Amen. Talk about. They can sing that song loud on this street and talk about, right? Amen. But all of them, what was it? It's all training. But a mission in hand. He come to my Sunday. And God has sent a Joshua. Amen. You've been on a journey. And this church has been on a journey. Amen. Where are we going? Amen. We're going across the Jordan. Amen. We're going to take the land. And God has promised us. Amen. Are you ready? Are you willing? And are you able? That's the heritage I have.
Praise God.
My grandmother died
at 94 years old, split wood with an axe at 92. Her kids built her. She lived through the Great Depression. The sad news is, my grandfather fell away from God and ran off with a woman. He had such charisma that he went to Kentucky and started a church with his girlfriend, said it was his wife, and built a holiness church up to 200 members. Hated me while he was shacked up with a woman. That's the charisma he had. Now, that's nothing. I'm not trying to lie. I'm just telling you the charisma the man had. But he had the goods at one time. But while he was doing that, my grandmother raised 7 kids through the Great Depression. They were featured on the front page of Section B of the Washington Post back in the 50s there, when it was, 60s. Amen. And she raised them through the Great Depression right after his things. And again, I won't get my dates on this. Almost all of them are gone now. Amen. And they showed how they killed what they ate, and they hung China hides out, sold them for fur, and they built big gardens. But many of them come to have money. They built my grandmother a brand new house. She moved down in the basement of that home, lived in the basement of that house. Amen. And cooked on her old wood stove, fired that thing up almost 365 days a year, and cooked on that thing. Then she also moved her feather tip mattress down there. At 92, she hadn't been to a doctor in 60 years. At 93, she got cancer, got down, so they took her to the doctor. She got there, the doctor said, "You got cancer." Amen. She patted him on the arm and said, "Thank you for telling me, sonny." And he said, "You got 6 months, 3 to 6 months to live." She went home, looked at her kids and said, "Well, the doctor said I got 3 to 6 months to live." Back up just a little bit, God struck my granddaddy down with a stroke, and he prayed through, but he was paralyzed the rest of his life. She threw the door open after she raised all 7 kids, threw the door open and said, "Welcome home, honey. I never did quit loving you. I took care of that invalid until the day he died." That's my heritage. She patted one arm and said, "Thank you, sonny." Amen. Went home together. The kids were out. So the doctor said, "I got 3 to 6 months, but I don't think I'm going to stay here that long. I think I'm going to go on home." And 6 weeks later, she died. And you heard the song. She literally died speaking in other tongues. Hallelujah. Three of those boys became pioneer preachers. They pioneered churches. You want to talk about disappointments? The church of my dad ended up pastoring my Uncle Bill, Uncle Jim, the Powers. He lost an eye building that church. He buried a 2-year-old little girl down in the Baptist cemetery building that church. But he built it. He went on to build several of them. My Uncle Wayne built a church near D.C. On and on, my dad got saved. They holiness preachers came out of that church. My Uncle Kirk had a big church. Then my father. My father-in-law's dug 2 or 3 churches out of the mud. And the last one pioneered from the ground up. And now the 4th generation. And meanwhile, while Dad was pioneering that church, you know who was there at 3 o'clock in the morning, young man? And we were standing in the ceiling at 3 o'clock in the morning. I was right there beside him. I'm not bragging. I was just on a journey. I had no idea that 41 years old, I'd be in Oklahoma preaching to you good people. Right then, it was just time to stay in the ceiling. Amen. And try to see somebody. Amen. Get saved. Right then, it was just time to drive a van and bring little kids to church. Amen. But God had a plan. And God was training me for a mission work in a town called Martinsburg. Amen. I preach this out, I don't feel the move on yet. I got a good interview that I can get to. Can't tell your story over mine. 8 years ago, God called me and said, "Quit evangelizing." People say you didn't have a word to preach. People say now that all the young people talk. You're not the only ones they talk about, it's just a path of life. My last year of Bible, I preached Brother Terry Guthrie. 2 or 3 week revival. I preached a 3 week revival for Jeff Archer. I had 27. I mean, got saved in that meeting. Going my last year, probably my best year. Had a great time. God was saying, "Really, we're saying, Brad, you know what? You said, thank you for going to God." And God said, "Go to Martinsburg, start a church." I ended up on Skid Row. I'm preaching about the journey. I'm bringing this to a close. I'm watching God. I ended up on Skid Row. Brother Sister Lester ain't there with me. And that's why they mean so much to me. Little Sister Lester come down Skid Row, set him up. Had a $500 leak at Town Car. My neighbor's kid. bitch scratched her name across the initials across the trunk of mine. But she didn't use little letters. You know, you only pay $500 for something, you don't lose a lot of sleep over it. Unless you're running on that thing. I don't know. I just need you to stay dedicated.
Praise God.
I just need you to stay devoted. Brother Brent, where's our church going? I don't know, but I feel good about it.
Praise God.
Where we're going to be a year from now, I don't know, but I feel good about it.
Praise God.
You talk about coming down my shirt, come on,
praise.
I'm preaching you tonight. All I need you to do is just stay on the journey.
Praise
Brother
God.
Lester, just stay dedicated and devoted. I wish there wasn't no disappointment somewhere. There's going to be so many you have to quit counting after a while. Well, you're on a journey, buddy. You're on a journey. I'm not helping anybody. I'm glad we're helping nobody. We're down here skidding over. We lived there for a year. When I lived here, I had a brand new home. I built houses. I had a brand new home. It wasn't big or fancy, but it was brand new. It was nice. And I said, God, if I'm going to pioneer church, I'm not driving 45 minutes. I'm going to live amongst these people. I'm going to ride there. I'm going to move my kids to a town with 14 strip clubs and 50 bars. We rolled into town. They taste people in my front yard. Some of you heard some of this rich stuff. My boys, one day, we rolled in for preaching, and someone had got 5 bullet holes in my backyard that day. 2 guys jumped out of a Jeep and started shooting across the hood at each other, 5 bullet holes in my backyard. Hey, y'all, I was raised in the country. My dad pastored a church in the county with 5,000 people. We rode four-wheelers and played and didn't know nothing about it. I never done a drug. Well, I don't know about this stuff. But God said, this is your place. Well, listen, give a little report. We was down to 2 strip clubs for 14 and 8 years.
Thank
God. We got 4 now. We got 2 of them going back up. We'll pray back out. So we started the church. There's so many stories I can't tell you. I don't have time to tell them. I'd be here hours. And Brother Lester comes, seen some of them. So we started that church. God sent people in, knocking on doors. That man come and prayed that morning. Him and his wife, 3rd marriage. They had been separated. They got back together. I was thinking about this the other day. They got back together for just like 1 month. That 1 month they were together, I knocked on the door of that home. And when I knocked on that trailer and he rolled out, that was his mama's, that was his mother-in-law's boyfriend. Remember I told you that last night. Rolled out. He comes to church. I said that morning, I said, y'all, I said, we need carpet for this, for the church. We got concrete floors. It's an old metal building. It's a steel building. It's all it is. It's, you see the insulation? It's just open beam steel building. It's all we can afford. And I said, sir, we need carpet. And he was there one service, been with his wife. 1 month, they split up 2-3 weeks later. God ordained it. That man sitting in that service. He called me after church. He prayed at the altar. I didn't know nothing about it. He said, I'm a cocaine addict preacher. And he said, but I'm a carpet layer. And he said, that church is going to have carpet in it. And a cocaine addict. Amen. Found me some used mismatched carpet. And we roll it out.
Come on,
we take it to the floor because we can't move because we don't own the building. And we got 2 gray pieces on this side. And if you look under the pews, there's a hole every other row. Someone stuck that big fork right through the whole row. So they gave it to us. Hallelujah. And under every other pew, there's a flap glued down. Hallelujah. Where that flap pushed through there. And down, hey, and we got to have a church in that place. And all of a sudden, a lady called me. And she said, preacher, are you not a church in Marksburg? And I said, yeah. Amen. Hey, you're a holiness preacher? Yeah. You know Paul Marquis? Yeah. That's my dad. I know him one time. Do you believe like he believed? Yes. Amen. I said, yes, I do. And now I'm living on Skid Row, y'all. Amen. Priest, your cars all hours of the day, drugs being sold in my neighbor's house, kicking the neighbor's door constantly. On and on and on. Kids running it out.